This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What is up, real ass dudes and dudettes? There's probably a few dudettes out there listening. It's maybe two.
Five.
Yeah, maybe a
five.
Few. Scopo is hot. Scopo's very hot. I don't like that.
I am very hot.
I'm already mad at Scopo. I cannot wait to talk about this. Scopo, what you realize is in this business, every once in a while you realize you have people who pretend to be your friends. And I think Chris Scopo is one of these guys. Very disappointed, Chris Scopo. I'm going to get into that in a minute. Brand new Real Ass Podcast. We don't have an official guest today. Robbie the Fire, you're not a guest.
Thank you.
Robbie, you are a fill-in co-host.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, so that's kind of like what you do here. You would never come in. I mean, I guess maybe if it was crazy, like, we could have me, you, Chris Scopo, and Zach. But in reality, that probably would never happen. You fill in for one of these guys. I like you. You respect me more than you should. So that makes me kind of feel good. Look, if you want to get on the Real Ass Podcast, if you're a young comedian, just come and kiss my ass a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. It's really not that hard to get on this show. If you just kind of make me feel like I'm important.
It's a two-move thing. You got to sign to move them twice.
I'm actually giving up for that. I'm giving a course in Lewis compliments. You can come see me at the
open
mic. I'll teach you what you have to say to Lewis to get on the show.
Very simple. Just, you got to kiss my ass a little bit. That's really
give
it.
Give him an Adderall every now and then.
I would never do that.
Scopo comes in today late, but here's the thing. I start yelling at him immediately, but he knows the move there. I start yelling at him, and he just fucking throws an Adderall on the table. And I'm like, all right, but you know what, dude? It's fine, I guess, this time. Immediately, I shut down. I want a little nice, laid-back hip-hop.
Compliments and drugs, the way to Lewis's heart.
Yeah, very easy. I'm a very easy guy. Johnny, can you just make sure everyone's around the same levels? I feel like we're all over the place right now. Johnny Fatigate, John, will you just be the producer of our show? Does Andy have to be the producer? I like Andy. I like smoking weed with Andy. I like wrestling with Andy. We get drunk and we wrestle in stand-up New York labs when nobody's around. Like all that stuff. He's my friend. But because he's my friend,
as a producer, he's not good. He doesn't show up.
He's not here. He's never been here for a recording of the Real Ass Podcast.
Sounds professional.
How can you be the producer of something if you're not there to produce it? What is the definition of a producer? They oversee everything. They come in, they fucking make sure that the show runs without a hitch. They make sure that everything, that the people on the show, the talent on the show are happy. They make sure that everybody is working in conjunction with each other so it can be the best show possible. He's never been here for a single show, Johnny Fatigate.
Well, he makes sure the post-production stuff happens.
The post-production stuff. No, he is an editor. We're going to give him the editing credit. That's what Andy has on the show. He's now the editor. Johnny Fatigate, officially the producer. Johnny Fatigate, you know what? You're the assistant producer. I'm officially the producer of the Real Ass Podcast now. You can be my assistant. Thank you, Rob. See, Rob will come back next week now because he clapped. He understands how to get into my fucking heart.
I like this promotion.
Why are there? I can't play the song anymore. There's too many sketches in fucking hip-hop videos.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll break out into sketches in the beginning and the middle of the song. That's insane.
Always a gunfight.
I gotta say, I never liked music videos ever. I always would just rather see the band playing the song.
Yeah, that's why MTV kind of fucking died. Nobody really... It
sucks.
It was really only like maybe a 6-year period or 7-year period where they just played a ton of music videos.
Well, it's not music television anymore.
Rap one's like pre-porn when you could see like thongs. Like, and that was like... I remember getting really hard to that chick singing about people licking her vagina.
Well, you're awesome because you're like 26, right?
Yeah.
So you both of you guys are a little bit younger. You were at a time when it was still you didn't have access to the internet when you started jerking off. But the things that would turn you on, like TV got kind of raunchy, dude. Like then,
right.
when I started like masturbating in like fucking 92 or whatever it was, TV wasn't really that raunchy.
Right.
Like you'd watch Married with Children and they'd go to a strip club and they'd kind of suggest shit like over the shoulders. They show a chick in like a top or whatever, like a bikini top. But they never really got crazy raunchy. When you guys were fucking masturbating, when you were 10, what year were you born?
87.
Yeah, dude, in 98? In 98, dude, like the thong video was out by Nelly.
Cisco.
Porn.
Whatever it was.
Cisco. Dude, porn.
They were black.
Small blackout.
I was looking at porn on the internet from like sixth grade on. So that stuff was available pretty early.
Yeah, because you probably had some rich super Jew computers in your house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, I only had one computer, and it was in the basement. And it was terrible. You couldn't fucking jerk
that
off.
That wasn't a computer. That was a car engine on a fucking sitting on a block.
Yeah, it really was.
I remember, like, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, I used to be home, like, alone in my house a lot. I remember looking at porn nonstop, and I never jerked off. I didn't start, like, jerking off till high school.
And when I was, like, 12, my brother gave me his fucking first porn. It was with Peter North. And I had my first porn banging these two chicks, and I used to have my friends over in my room.
Man, a little
jerk off party.
We didn't jerk off, but we just sat there. We just sat there with our dicks in our hand, like touching our dicks.
Scopo,
like
look at me. You jerked off. It's a jerk party. In whatever jerk way it party. Was, dude, you probably went into the closet. You guys took turns.
Oh, no. We did that. We went to the bathroom.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. That's
what it is. By the way, I do a joke about this specifically, and I've talked about it on Legion of Skanks podcast. It's not that weird. Every guy has some version of that. Like, it wasn't like we were sitting next to each other jerking off on each other's
faces.
That's
what I thought you meant. No.
You go into opposite corners of the room, and it's fucking, it's just the way you explore. You give each other tips on how to jerk off.
We used to fucking just get hard and then just go to the bathroom and then just rub one out. Everyone would take turns rubbing one out.
I always thought it was more just like you were so horny. You're like, I don't care if you're over there. I'm going to go jerk off over here.
We had kind of more of a hardcore jerk-off party, I'll tell you. It was still not gay.
Ours was real. A little bit. All right.
But we had, look, it probably started off
you're doing it wrong.
Going into the closet or turning off all the
lights.
Let
me spit on your dick for you.
That's been when we turn off all the lights. It's like, nothing gay, dude. All right, look, listen, we're having fun right now, and I'm liking this conversation, but I don't want to derail it later on to fucking be infuriated at Chris Scopo.
Oh, okay, yeah, get mad at him.
So let me just do that now.
Yeah, get out of the way.
Because, I went to Seattle this past week. I smoked a bunch of legal weed. It's recreationally legal there now, which is nuts. I want to talk about that.
Right.
Ari Shaffir is in a fucking a battle with a one-armed girl.
Yeah, what's going on with that? Because
we're
going
to talk about it. Don't worry about it.
I don't know what's going on with that.
I know what's going on with that. I'm going to tell you what's going on with that. But I'm fucking sick of you, okay?
You're sick of me?
First of all, I'm sick of you for two reasons. Number one, only your nose is sunburnt. Chris Scopo was in, where were we at?
Because it shades the rest of his face.
No, he has this big fucking hobbit nose that sticks out of his face.
And it shades everything else.
No. At this part, I'm missing a layer of skin right here because when I was younger, I got burnt. And it just never grew back. So when I get sunburned, this is always
That's not
red.
The way it works.
That sounds like something you made up.
No, I swear to God. Scopo. It's the fucking truth.
Listen to me.
What's up?
That's not the way it works.
Burned a layer of skin off?
You don't have one layer of skin isn't regenerating, but everything else is because you got sunburned one time. You have
I didn't get burnt. I got burnt by a fucking
It's
just closer to the sun than everything
Italian
else on you.
Nose.
You have a giant bald nose that's fucking a full foot and a half closer to the sun, and it gets burnt. That's what the fuck happens, dude. And your shitty wavy hair covered your stupid forehead. Your nostrils cover your lips and chin. So that's why that fucking big red honker is all burnt up. That's why.
No,
but that's
not
really
true.
Why I'm mad at you. Okay, here's why I'm mad at you. Because yesterday, you know, YKWD, here's the thing, dude. Here's what you got to understand. I'm a fan of Robert Kelly, okay? When I started in comedy, Robert Kelly was somebody that I really looked up to before I started in comedy, somebody that I knew about. It was like he was one of the guys who I'd seen on TV before. So when I met Robert Kelly and became friends with Robert Kelly, it was like a big deal to me. You know what I'm saying? I listened to the show. Okay, not every week, but here and there. Now that they go live, I'll be at home with James. We'll just be hanging out. I'll throw it on. It's just in the background. And sure enough, my name will come up here and there.
Look at these people making fun of Daddy.
No, and it's great. And I don't even mind it, dude. Look, in the name of busting balls, okay, if I'm out of the room, I don't give a fuck, dude. I do ridiculous shit. I do stupid shit all the time, okay? So if you want to bust my balls, if my buddies want to take pot shots at me when I'm not in the room, who gives a fuck? We're friends. I'll do it to you. You'll do it to me. I've called Bobby Fat on this show. I've made fun of Jay's fingerless gloves on this show. Dave Smith being a fucking ranting and rambling asshole on this show. We all do it, okay? When they're not in the room, I don't even care because we're friends. That's what we do. That's the when I became a fan of the New York comedy scene and I started getting involved in it, the dream was to sit at the Comedy Cellar table and bust balls the same way it was on Tough Crowd, the same way they did it on ONA. And I'd like to think that YKWD, Legion of Skanks, Real Ass Podcast, we have some of that spirit. That's the idea. It lives within these shows.
Well, I loved that Joe List just had an interview on Splitsider, and like they referenced an article where they're asking all these comics who their other favorite comic was. And every New York guy was like, oh, I love Joe List because of his tiny mouth, or I love this guy because of his big, stupid head. It was like every single compliment was like, hey, he's funny. He's a piece of shit. I hate Dan Soder. I hope he falls down a well.
There's no compliment that's not a backhanded compliment.
Right. But it was just such a great flavor that every single person, when they asked, who's your favorite? He's my favorite comic, but he's a piece of shit for this reason. And that was just such a great flavor.
And that spirit is why it's what I'm a fan of. It's Patrice O'Neill, it's Jim Norton, it's these guys that, you know, we Bobby Kelly, it's who I grew up looking up to coming into the comedy scene, okay? So I have no problem with that, okay? But 2 weeks in a row now, I've tuned into YKWD. 2 weeks in a row, and I have people that aren't really my friends taking shots at me. You know, now look, Marina, I'll give a pass. I won't even talk about Marina. Marina is my friend. I'm friendly with Marina.
She didn't even really give a shot at you, though. She said she loves you about seven times.
Let me tell you something. She fucking made it look like Legion of Skanks is begging for, like I'm going out begging people to give our podcast five-star reviews. What happened was a buddy of mine does another podcast, and he does that. He has friends give it reviews, and they're always very high up in the rankings. So I was like, is that really possible? Can you move the needle by just having a few people a day rank it, you know, five-star rankings? Because you always see the same people in the top rankings of iTunes. So for one day, I went to a bunch of my comic buddies that I was hanging the whole day. I was like, dude, give it a five-star review. Leave it a positive comment. I want to see what happens. And like five or six people did. Marina was one of the people who said no. She said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then she finally gave in, and then she ended up only giving you a three-star review. And then writing on it.
That's almost worse.
Yeah, it's fucked up. She ended up writing on it, Lewis asked me to do this, or something like that. So fuck her. I went and gave her shitty podcast a one-star review now, so she can go fuck herself. But the podcast, I can't even remember the name. Nobody knows the name of her fucking podcast. So fuck you, Marina. I'm coming on YKWD with Marina soon. So we'll hash out our shit.
You
okay?
Get petty pretty quick.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Go fuck yourself, Bernstein.
You do get
one star review on iTunes, Bernstein. Wait till you put out an album.
For this podcast,
it's done.
The only thing I'm on?
When you put out an album, one star review on iTunes.
The day I get an album.
I'm going to go create another account on my chick's computer and give it another one star review.
One star, perfect.
Don't ever cross me
again,
I'll
have two whole stars then.
Dude, iTunes won't even.
That'll be the only two rankings.
I'll get two reviews.
Oh, he's on the board finally because of me. What were you going to say?
I was going to say iTunes won't be out by the time he was going to do a fucking
thing. Yeah, mumble through that because
I'm
fucking furious.
Because you know what? You fucking wouldn't shut the fuck up and let me get a joke in.
What? With what?
Oh, we're going to get some real heat going
right now. I'm trying to get a joke in, trying to make it funny,
no,
and you're just fucking babbling to each other.
I don't want it to be funny.
Why don't you
want
to be funny?
Let me fucking tell you.
Let me be funny.
Yeah, you still haven't gotten mad at Scopo.
This isn't even me getting mad yet.
You haven't even gotten mad yet?
That's me describing
okay.
The week before I'm even really mad. Because
right.
Scopo, that's fine. I get Scopo, sit back, have fun, laugh at me. Marina, we'll give her a pass. I've known Marina a long time. We'll say we're friends.
So who was
that fucking bitch?
Who was the really in? Like,
so last week, or yesterday, the girls from Guys We Fucked were on.
Your mortal enemies.
Not my mortal enemies. I actually like Christina, kind of. Okay? This chick, Corinne Fisher, and I've been really... I never say this chick's name. I don't want to fucking plug her. I don't want to plug her podcast. I've been trying to just say, fuck it. I'll take the high road. I don't really give a fuck about this chick. I don't think about this chick, okay? But they have these bitches on, and immediately I see that, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. I knew some shit was going to fucking come up, okay? This chick is not my friend. She's not fucking cool. She's never been cool to me. She's never been a fucking nice person. You could trace it back to the first time she was on Legion of Skanks. They come on our podcast. A podcast. We're just fucking pieces of shit, you fucking idiot. We are pieces of shit. You come into our fucking world, and then you get mad because we're just being who we are? Are you fucking kidding me? They offered me to come on their podcast. And the reason I didn't want to come on their podcast is because I'm a piece of shit. I'm not going to go into their world and be the piece of shit that I am and then have a weird fucking thing with these chicks while their fans are going like, oh, this guy's a real fucking scumbag. No, I'm not a fucking scumbag. No, I'm going to get into this because it really made me angry what happened yesterday.
I've never seen better acting from you, though. That was like a great monologue.
Those acting classes are paying off.
That was a good Lewis moment.
I'm not even angry. None of this happened. Guys, that was our first exercise of the day. We're doing a new acting podcast.
That's
got to
be your acting reel when you have that a moment. I am a piece of shit.
That's his Meisner technique. You just go, you're in it. You're in the moment.
So yesterday I tune in and they start talking about me and this chick at one point
they didn't fucking talk about your comedy or anything or your family.
No, because they can't talk about my fucking
I know,
comedy.
I'm just
are you
saying,
kidding
but
me this
they
open
just,
no, mic or bitch are you kidding
they,
me
can you, the, they yeah. just said they didn't like you
let me tell you okay
which you know
so I guess somebody brought me up, like, oh, would you fuck Luis J. Gomez? Which, by the way, you're going into Bobby Kelly's podcast. You're going into their to his world, too. And, of course, you're going to kiss ass and not say anything, even though they're being misogynist pieces of shit, too, because that's what the fuck they are. But the truth, you're phony climber bitches, so you'll go in there and pretend that everything is cool and just take it on the chin from those guys because Bobby Kelly's more fucking famous. You think I don't know what the fuck is going on? So they bring me up, and she's like, no, I don't like that guy. And then they begin to tell a story about how I banned them from LOL because they wouldn't play a commercial on their podcast. Okay? That is just the tip of fucking what happened there. Okay? And this is what's making me angry. So they tell this story, and I'll tell you exactly what happened. When I came to Stand Up New York Labs, they had a show on Stand Up New York Labs called Guys We Fuck. They still have the show. They left the podcast network since. And it's a show about guys they fucked. They bring in guys that they fucked and they talked about it. The cheapest, easiest fucking trick in comedy that you can do as a woman is just talk about what a slut you are and talk about all the shit you've done just to get fucking cheap, easy laughs. It's literally comedy 101 for fucking chick comics. That's what their whole podcast is based off of. That right there. Which, fine, have fun. I don't really give a fuck, okay? But that's everything. That's the entire brunt of their show is that. Okay? We talk about women we fucked. We talk about stupid shit we've done. But we'll also talk about fucking everything else in the world.
Jerk-off parties. Yeah.
I don't think you're helping the point here, Robbie Bernstein.
Oh, sorry.
So when I came here, I cut together a little commercial, and it basically was like, yeah, I got this new podcast on the network, blah, blah, blah. Every podcast on this fucking network was like, cool, dude, boom, let's do it. We'll cross-promote, would love to do it, great idea. It's actually bringing a great spirit to Stand Up New York Labs, the idea of cross-promoting each other and getting each other's back. And it's something that I learned from Robert Kelly in the YKWD podcast, because that's how Riotcast does it. If you do a podcast on the Riotcast network, they onboard you. They fucking promote you. Everybody, they put a commercial on every single podcast. Everybody promotes the shit out of you for about a month. And that's why every time a Riotcast podcast premieres, it always premieres in the top 50 podcasts on iTunes. It's just a fucking formula. It's a smart way to do fucking business. You know what I'm saying? So whatever, they said no. And in reality, I didn't even really care, because the point was they don't do commercials on their podcast. But I talked to these girls about it, and this chick, Corinne, was just a fucking cunt. She was just super dismissive, just kind of like, just like really. And the truth is, and she said this on the podcast yesterday, it's because I'm a notorious slut shamer. But she was like, why would we play your podcast? Why would we play a commercial for your podcast when it's the antithesis of what we do? That was kind of the idea of what she was doing.
Have you ever even slut shamed anyone?
No, I love sluts.
Yeah,
I'm a like slut. Right. I fucked so many women in so many grimy ways. Who am I to point my finger at anybody and ever? They're talking about because I don't call porn stars heroes. Because I say porn stars, yeah.
Oh, like the fucking Duke girl?
Yeah, like the Duke chick. They sell their bodies. So I'm like, oh, that's not fucking cool. I don't know. What do you want me to say here? If my buddy was selling his body, I'd say, hey, dude, that's not fucking cool. It's a difference between being a slut and selling your body. So that's what it really all came from. But she was just shitty about it. Really shitty about it. Okay. And then I had multiple people tell me, I was like, oh, that chick Corinne fucking hates your guts, right? Every time she'd leave a room, the people in the room be like, yeah, dude, she fucking hates you. She was just talking about how she hates your fucking guts multiple times. So I'm like, why? Why would I ever do the chick a favor? My chick, Beatrice, at the time was booking a room. And I had Corinne and Christina on the avails list working the room, because I told Beatrice to put them on the avails list. I said, Beatrice, these are friends of mine. These are people that I like. These are people that I'm going to vouch for. There's thousands of comics in New York City trying to work this room, okay? Why would I help out somebody who not only isn't my friend, but somebody who went out of their way to just be a piece of shit to me? Why would I fucking do that? So I said, fuck her. That's it. I was like, I'm not helping her out, Beatrice. Don't put her on the avails list anymore. And I said the same thing for Christina, because she was pretty shitty too. But Christina came back and reached out to me and said, hey, this is kind of weird. And we had a conversation. I said, all right, I don't really give a fuck about the commercial. I was like, sure, go work the club again. And Beatrice started working Christina in the room again.
In the words of Rambo, she drew first blood.
It's not even drawing first blood. It's not any of that, dude. Yeah. But this is just the reality of the situation. She's not a funny comedian, okay? This is a fact. She is an open micer. She is a fucking open micer. Why would I go out of my way to help out an open micer who brings nothing to the table except talking shit about me behind my back and not doing me a favor, the one favor she had a fucking opportunity to do me. So that's the story. So this bitch goes on YKWD in front of a room full of what I call my fucking friends.
Right.
Chris Scopo, Bobby Kelly. Who else was fucking there?
Ari.
Ari.
Sean Donnelly.
Donnelly's not my friend. Fuck him.
Ricky Velez.
Ricky Velez stinks. He's fuck you too, Ricky. How about that?
Ricky had you defended
me.
Donnelly?
Ricky defended me. Never mind. I'm back on Ricky's side.
I didn't hear him defend me.
Do
you have beef with Donnelly?
No, I'm kidding. Okay. I don't consider Ricky or Donnelly friends, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I'm friendly with them. They're work associates. We hang out. We're cool with each other. I'll smoke weed with Ricky. Donnelly will high five when we see each other, talk about donuts. I don't know. These other motherfuckers are my friends. Bobby, Ari, Scopo, especially you, dude. Okay,
but they didn't say anything.
Yes, she fucking
what?
Did.
They didn't say anything about this.
He's a notorious slut shamer. I'm an asshole. Whatever. Well, it is. At what point did one of my fucking friends say, "Hey, dude, hold on. Who the fuck are you?" Because
you know what, dude, you are an asshole at times. There, a lot of people don't like you. Let's be honest.
Okay. That's fine. No.
And
if somebody, Scopo,
if another person doesn't like you, I'll defend you. Scopo, if she talks shit about your family or your kid.
Okay. If anybody ever came out and fucking said that you are an asshole, a notorious slut shamer, I'd be like, no, that's not true. I was like, he's actually a fucking great guy and he's awesome. And who the fuck are you? Because you're coming into my fucking home. Okay. I'm a regular on YKWD. And nobody got my fucking back. Not a single person said, hey, hold on one second. Lewis is a notorious slut shamer. Lewis is a fucking asshole. Nobody examined that anymore. When I had the opportunity to explain myself in the fucking chat, Bobby cut all. And I get how it's funny, and I get how the joke is there to be like, all right, I'll read Lewis's thing and then end the show and not read my thing. I get it. It's hilarious, dude. I laugh at it. It's a funny joke. But at the same time, I'm having 2 weeks in a row where people are just kind of fucking painting a picture of me that aren't true, and nobody's getting my back. I'm having people that aren't friends take pot shots at me without me being there to defend myself, and everyone just fucking laughing and leading it along. It reminds me of the Kelly Fasuka situation, because Bobby used to do that with Kelly. Bobby used to allow Kelly to get off on me because she wasn't able to do it to my face. She wasn't able to beat me in the argument. She wasn't able to beat me in the funny. So it was either when I wasn't there, she would fucking make comments and everyone would laugh and giggle, or when I was there, he would fucking pretend that she was being funnier than she was. And it's fucked up. Okay, I listened to that yesterday. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Nobody's going to go, oh, hold on, Lewis isn't a fucking asshole. Lewis isn't a fucking piece of shit. We're not going to explore that anymore. The story is Lewis just banned a fucking chick from LOL. Nobody was banned. I fucking told my girlfriend to no longer book you on my accord. If you were that good, my girlfriend would have fucking heard of you. She booked plenty of people on her own accord. It wasn't just my fucking friends. So if you were good, she would have fucking came out and said, oh, no, that chick's got to fucking work this club. And there's been plenty of times that my girlfriend was booking people that I just didn't even agree with, and she was like, no, I think they're funny and they're cool and they do a great job. And I was like, all right, I don't really give a fuck. It's none of my business. But my point is, when I have people that are supposed to be my friends in a room with these fucking chicks who are taking these open mic or fucking cunts that aren't my friends, that are saying that aren't my friends, and I'm busting my balls and I'm not there to defend myself, nobody gets my back. And that's what bugs me.
Because they didn't really trash you. They just said you're an asshole and you're a slut shamer. Dude,
neither
listen.
Of which are true.
I know neither, they're not true. I know
neither
listen,
of which are true.
But the point is, they didn't fucking. If they went after your family, if they went after your fucking kid, if they went after your comedy, if they did something like that, it's totally different. They don't like you. You don't like them.
So they're gonna go on a podcast, which is literally the podcast that gave me a fan base. And they're going to go speak directly to my fucking fan base, the fans that I've got through going on that podcast for years.
And that's going to make them like you more. It won't make
people like me more when my friends are sitting in a room going, yeah, Lewis is an asshole. Yeah, he's a slut shamer. Ha, 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 ha.
Dude.
It's not trashing me.
Come on.
They're not my fucking friends, dude.
I know they're not your
people
friends.
People that aren't my friends don't fucking trash me. My enemies don't fucking trash me.
So no one can trash you. No one. So your enemies.
No, not my fucking enemies. Not publicly. Not without me going, why wouldn't one of my fucking friends get my back? That's crazy to me, Scopo. If somebody that didn't like you was fucking trashing you on one of my fucking podcasts, could you imagine me going like, yeah, what a fucking asshole that Scopo guy is? Could you imagine that?
It's different. They weren't fucking, dude.
Not even one word.
They weren't fucking trashing.
Not one time to go, oh, did people go, no, Lewis is a fucking funny, hilarious,
we know you're
great
funny.
Dude.
We know you.
Nobody said that.
We know you're not funny.
Okay.
Just say that. We know you're not funny.
It's not about being funny, dude. They never attacked my funny. I'm just saying nobody got my back for even a second, and I think it's fucked up. And that's all I'll say about it. And I want you – and here's the thing. The way you deal with guilt is you start fucking lashing out. You start getting angry and pointing your finger. Oh, yeah, a lot of people don't like you, dude. You're a fucking asshole. That's the problem. You're a fucking asshole. Why are you apologizing to me yesterday in text?
I texted you.
But why then?
Because I felt bad.
If you feel like I'm an asshole and a lot of people don't like me and I deserve it and I'm just getting my balls busted, then why would you fucking text me that then?
I did apologize. I felt bad that I didn't fucking defend you and say shit. But you know what, dude? They didn't really trash you to the point where it's going to hurt you.
No, it wasn't trashing me. It wasn't busting my balls. If it was busting my balls, even if they were just kind of busting my balls, I'd be like, all right, well, fuck it, whatever.
But why does
this bitch just came out, looked into the fucking camera and said, yeah, I don't like that guy. He's a fucking asshole. He's the notorious slut shamer. And everyone just went, okay.
If she's so beneath you, then why even bother? Who gives a fuck?
It's not about her being beneath. She came into my world. Okay? She came into a room with my fucking friends on a podcast that I regularly do and shit on me. Not just shit on me, didn't fucking bust balls, actually took a fucking attack at my character, and nobody got my back on that. And I thought that was fucked up. So if you don't think it's fucked up, then don't think it's fucked up. I promise you, I will not have your back.
I didn't say something like that. I didn't think that it was. Let me just say. Listen, if you thought it was attacking
Robbie Bernstein,
you
what
shut
you
up.
Say? I want to hear Robbie Bernstein.
No, I
want to
talk. If I'm sorry. If you thought that, I really didn't think that was that bad. Of a fucking diss to you, but if you thought that, I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Okay. What do you want to say, Robbie?
That's why he's a fucking child.
What do you want to say, Robbie Bernstein? Well, no, we're going to move on. I've blown my steam. What's up?
Yeah. No, it sounds like you're mostly just upset that no one got your back more than that they came in.
Yeah, no shit. I know this bitch doesn't fucking like me. She's been very clear about it, but for years, since the first time she came on Legion of Skanks, she's just been a shitty person to me. I've been nothing but fucking nice to that chick. Nothing. Literally, after she left Legion of Skanks the first time, I went up to them. I was like, guys, I'm really sorry. I feel bad about the way that went because we just have different goals and different views on the world, okay? I apologize to them because I felt bad. And the truth is, I produce that fucking show, and I want to make sure when guests leave that fucking show, they leave happy. I'm not trying to fucking be an asshole to anybody. When me and Karen got into that shit and I threw a glass of water on her face and she fucking smacked me in the face, I made sure that we had a conversation, and I said, hey, look, I don't want to have that shit in the world with anybody. Anybody in the fucking world. Me and Godfrey didn't like each other for 2 years. One day I saw him at the gym. We were the only two people in the gym. And I said, fuck this. I can't have this in the world anymore. And I went up to him, and I was like, what's up, dude? And I gave him the hand, and we squashed it. We talked about it right there and then. I'm not that fucking guy, okay? This bitch just wants to keep it fucking going. You want to have an enemy, bitch? You got a fucking enemy. I don't care. You are so fucking unfunny that I'm not afraid of you getting anywhere in the fucking business. Yeah, I called you the hottest chick in comedy. It was a joke. It was a joke. The first time I met them, I was like, they can't stop talking about how I talked about how they were the hottest chicks in comedy. I saw them in a dark room and I was like, oh, these are comics? They're fucking hot, man. They're the hottest chicks in comedy. Then they moved into the light and I was like, oh, I guess I really overestimated that. They're okay.
You know, it's great.
Wait, I did defend you on that part. They said, oh, yeah, he was saying that the hottest chicken comedy were right there. I was like, yeah, but that's him being – that's a compliment.
I feel like I'm going to start
that's you being nice.
I'm going to start getting enemies by coming on here that you go off on people. And then – I mean, I'm not friends with them that I'm going to defend them. But I feel like okay.
Go ahead, Robbie. Say what you're going to say, bro. What are you going to say? I want to know.
No, it's funny on my angle because I feel like now you're trashing people almost, but I don't really like them. I mean, I don't dislike them. I don't really know them.
You don't
got
to trash anybody you don't want to trash. Here's the thing. I don't bring anybody on the show to fuck it. Look, I know Zach would have my back right now. Oh, I know Zach would have my fucking back right now. There's zero chance Zach would be sitting here not trashing these bitches. Anyway, and by the way, I'm not even trashing Christina because me and Christina, we've been pretty cool. I never even really had a problem with her. She kind of just handles herself the right way. Even if we don't really like each other, she still knows how to be a fucking professional. She still knows how to be in a room with another comic. I did a show with Corinne. I did Comedy Groupie show, and Comedy Groupie was like, are you guys going to be cool? And then Corinne tweeted. She was like, we're professionals. We'll be cool. I saw her there, and I was like, oh, hey, what's up, Corinne? And she goes, ugh. And she rolled her eyes and walked away from me. That's fucking professional. That's the world we fucking live in. Are you crazy? And by the way, I don't talk about any of this because I don't give a shit.
I'm almost impressed by how much she doesn't like you.
She fucking, dude, look
it's like impressive to just have that much resent and hatred towards someone.
You're really taking
pretty neutral.
It. Like, why can't you just fucking, like, whatever? Just let it go.
Because you,
no, he's upset that people didn't stand
because
up for him. And
you
I
motherfuckers.
That.
Because, no, here's what I got to the YKWD fan base, and there's plenty of Gomites that live within there, okay?
But they don't know that we're boys.
Hold on. They know we're boys, okay? You do my fucking podcast. We say we're friends all the time. We've said on YKWD that we're boys. We. to that fan base, a story was told to them that wasn't true. Part of a story was told to them, and nobody even questioned. Nobody said anything. Everyone was like, yep, Lewis is an asshole. Lewis banned them from LOL. That's not what the fuck happened. So that my problem is nobody wanted to explore that more. Nobody got my back. Nobody said, hey, hold on. Nobody even said, hey, dude, you guys are fucking just open mic or unfunny bitches. You shouldn't even be fucking talking about Lewis in that light.
But wait.
Do you know how much respect I, hold on. Do you know how much more fucking respect I had for comics that had been doing it that much longer than me? I was a young comic coming into this, I would never just shit on another comic openly, even if I didn't like them. And no matter what, she did the same thing with Big J on Facebook. She had an open war. She's calling Big J fat. She's saying he's not funny. And I'm like, are you fucking crazy? What type of balls do you have that you're just going to come out and start fucking attacking comics who have been in this game doing what you're trying to fucking do that much longer than you? We're all fucking brothers. I've said this a million times in this show. If I see somebody that I don't even fucking really like that much getting into some shit with some dudes on the street, if he's a comic, I'm going to go get his fucking back. Okay, because we're fucking brothers and we're in this shit together, okay? That chick, a lot of fucking young comic chicks, they don't have that in them. It's this weird fucking me, selfish thing. They don't have any respect for
a lot of them out for themselves.
It's not even being out for themselves. They just don't have respect for the fact that if somebody's, like, when I came into it, DeRosa was doing comedy for like 2 or 3 years. DeRosa really wasn't getting paid to do comedy yet. But I had a lot of respect for Joe DeRosa just because he was there and I was like, dude, I want to fucking be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, in their mind, they're already beyond all this. Their podcast is this thing that's gotten them so many fans and so much shit. Why do you have fucking 3,000 Twitter followers? If you have so many fans, if you have 500,000 fans on SoundCloud, if you have 75,000 downloads per episode, why do you have 3,000 Twitter followers? Those type of numbers, do you know who has three quarters of a million fans on SoundCloud? Lady Gaga. Those are the people who have that. Justin Bieber, I don't know how many fans he's got, but those are the type of people who have those fucking numbers, you fucking idiots.
I feel like we should start leaving the angry segment for the end. It's hard to come like down from.
I was in Seattle this past week too.
Yes. That is a good transition.
I don't have good weed anymore, and that's the problem.
That's what's going on here.
Johnny, can I smoke weed? You're not even Johnny. Joe Harari. Joe, I'm so, I shouldn't be saying this in front of a fucking booker. Now I actually feel bad. Joe, they're funny.
I was hanging with Christina this Saturday night.
Yeah, see, they're very funny. Both those chicks are hilarious. Book them all the time, please.
They're banned from the spot.
No, they're not. Are they banned from the club? Oh, that'd be so fucking... If you told me that right now, I'd be like, oh, thank God. But no, don't. Seriously, they're great, dude. No, I like Christina. Corinne is an awful bitch. I don't know what else to fucking say. I don't know what else to say.
And life.
And I get Christina has to get her friends back. The only reason why me and Christina had any rifts at all is because she has to get her fucking friends back.
Right.
That's it.
In general, I'm a big fan of the concept of seniority. Like in high school, we used to live in the dorm and we were just like senior got preference on television channels, whatever it was. And like, I kind of like paying seniority and also get it when I'm older. But some people aren't wired that way. Some people are like, me and you are both people. Fuck you. I don't care if you've been here longer. But that's just not... I'm just a big fan.
No respect. Just very disrespectful immediately. We met this chick. She was immediately just dismissive and disrespectful. After coming into our world, why would you come on a show called Legion of Skanks? You idiot. And have you not listened to a single show? Why would you come onto that and you're gonna try to like argue and debate a fucking point? We're going to kill you with funny. Big J is wrong about 90% of the things that he says, but he is the funniest person in the world. So I don't argue with Big J on the show because I know Big J is going to kill me with funny every single time. I am 100 times funnier than Corinne Fisher. Big J is 100 times funnier than me. This chick stands no fucking chance coming into an environment like that and saying anything. It doesn't even matter. We could be arguing that slavery is justified and should come back tomorrow. And she could argue the other point. We are going to win in our environment every single fucking time. Okay?
Kids, this is what weed withdrawal looks like.
Good weed withdrawal. He's back to shitty New York weed.
I'm back to shitty New York weed.
And now it's aggressive as anything.
What'd you say? Yeah, she could smoke some too. Jesus Christ.
That's a reasonable policy.
And honestly, I don't even care because fucking Sherrod Small... that motherfucker smokes weed in here every single week, and nobody says anything to him. He comes on a Legion of Skanks podcast, steps all over fucking everything that I say.
Yeah, let's beef with him now.
I'm sick of everybody. I'm sick of everybody.
Fuck the chicks. I'm nothing about Sherrod Small, and who else?
He doesn't want to get thrown into the fucking
wall. Who else are we going off on? Let's get it all out there. Let's have a whole airing of grievances.
Here's a problem, dude. Robbie, you can talk as much shit about Sherrod Small as you want.
He doesn't even know who I am.
He couldn't find you if he tried.
He could not pick me out of a crowd.
Dude, he is Sherrod
Small. What little Jewish kid?
Dude, it would take him months to find you, dude. I mean, you are so nowhere to be found. You leave no footprint on the internet. Nobody knows, like, Robbie who? He's like the kid from the Lego movie, the main character. It's like, yeah, I don't know who that guy is even.
We don't know because we don't have kids.
Did you not see the Lego movie?
I thought the beginning was great of that movie.
You didn't see the Lego movie?
I did.
You didn't?
No.
I don't remember the character you're talking about, though.
Wait, hold on, what? Oh, all right, cool. I'm going to just say that you gave me complete permission. And it's on recording, so I mean, it's going to be completely backed up.
I like how he just said I didn't know at all. I'm literally on mic right now saying that.
You just stated.
Stated, don't tell him I didn't know at all, but he's on mic saying
how great
that.
Would it be if he edited it, and then later he's like, I told him not to do it.
He just edits together my words. The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. Shows it to the owners of the club. I'm banned. How did my Corinne Fisher rant get fucking... By the way, we're naming this episode Corinne Fisher is a cunt.
You start talking about things you hate and Jews just comes right up to the top of your brain. That's what happens. That's how we got there.
All right, look, let's fucking move on, dude. I'm done. I that's how I feel, dude. And I'm being honest about that, okay? So you can feel how you want to feel.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Fucking next time somebody's in a room shitting on your boy, at least, even if you want to take some shots at me, at least come in and go, oh, but let's not get it twisted. He's on our fucking team and you bitches aren't. That should be stated very clearly at one fucking point. And I'm going to say this to Bobby on YKWD Tuesday, because I'm back on YKWD, YKWD fans, Tuesday.
Well, it's not going to be Tuesday.
I'm not back on YKWD, guys. Sorry. I will never be back on again after Bobby hears this show. And it was nice knowing you guys. Go Mites. Tune in every Friday, 12:30.
Well, no, it's you can back on, but it's not Tuesday.
Well, I probably can't make it, because I'm busy, all right? So, I was in Seattle.
Smoke that pot.
Let me smoke the pot. Hold on.
Smoke the pot.
Here, take over hosting for a minute.
Okay, I'd love to. Hey there, Go Mites. We're here. Lewis is partaking in whatever. I'll tell you guys a good story. I don't really have any good stories. Oh, I got blown in a cab last night after the Stan show. That was fun. It's a pretty good story. It was two nights ago.
I told you to take over hosting, not start telling a story. Now we got to fucking listen to for the next 10 minutes. I was thinking a hit of weed.
Oh, okay. Jeez, now you're back.
How big was she?
Oh, no, it just wasn't that
you got blown in a cab?
Yeah, it was great.
All right, let me just do quick questions. I'll do a quick interview about your cab blowjob. Met her at a show?
After the show.
So she saw you do comedy?
What? Yeah.
She saw you do comedy?
I did great, though.
And she still blew you?
Yeah, I did. I killed on that.
Okay, you killed?
But the Frantic comedy?
Yeah.
Nice.
Check spots?
No. I did a spot
at the
checks
at Stan.
Well, one at a time. It was at Frantic at the Stand.
No, Dixon's last Tuesday.
Oh, Dixon show last Tuesday. Yeah. Okay, all right. So quickly, all right. So Dixon show last Tuesday. Got blown. How hot was she?
Yeah.
She was gross.
Not okay. Gross. Like I don't know, maybe a 5.
Where'd you take the cab to?
That means a 3.
To Grand Central, but then I was like, just keep going, dude.
So it was from Caroline to Grand Central.
No, from the Stand to Grand Central.
How did you?
Which is not much. I was at the Stand. That was where the show was. He has the show at the Stand last Tuesday.
Got it.
Spot killed it. Chicks outside, we're smoking a cigarette, we go to a bar, we have a drink, we go to another bar, grab a drink, and then I got to catch the train. I was like, hey, you want to take a cab with me and blow me in the cab? So she got in, we're going, she's blown, unbelievable.
Did you nut?
Yeah, I did. But
swallowed?
Yeah, she swallowed.
Like a champ.
Unless she spit on the...
White chick?
Yeah.
Did the cab driver notice?
I don't think so. Maybe. Probably.
I wouldn't have been able to come unless I was making eye contact with him.
Oh, really? And making conversation?
Did you ever fuck in a cab?
No, but it was great because he's getting all...
Yeah?
The guy kept getting mad at me because he's like, where do you want to go? I was like, just go to 53rd and make a left. And then we got to 53rd. He goes, where? Just go back to Grand Central. And we got back to Grand Central. I was like, go back to 53rd.
The guy's like, definitely knew what was going on.
He's just like, what the fuck? I was like, don't worry, I'll tip.
Can you
just
also stop
going.
Speaking in such a high register? That was fucking crazy, dude. You get excited and you start going all fucking...
My bad.
That is the Jew in him.
Yeah, I don't get blown in cabs that often. You fucked in a cab?
Dude, I've
fucked in a cab.
What?
There was like year period in my life where I could only
have
public sex.
Only fucking a cab to get off.
Public sex. I'm a big proponent of public sex.
No, he's easy in the summer when if the girls wearing a skirt, you just fucking bang around with the skirt.
Typically, the cab drivers don't care. I've been kicked out of a couple cabs.
I have also.
Yeah, well, doing shit.
Throw him an extra fucking 20.
Are you crazy? The tip is them getting to watch me fuck. I don't pay them usually. I was like, hey, buddy, you're welcome. And then I leave, and I leave her dirty panties on the cab floor. I had a chick that I remember one time. We used to fuck all the time. This she was a really hot, like little punk rock chick. She had like a dykey haircut. It's like nipple rings, like smoking hot little chick. And we used to fuck all the time. And one time we were on our way home in a cab, and she pulled down her panties, and I thought we were going to fuck, and she just squatted on the floor and pissed.
What?
On the in the puddle. You know, it's like a little, like, rectangle, like, on the floor, and there's
it's
just like no...
It's plastic, so it can kind of fill up.
It it literally just filled
it's like
up.
It's like it depends, just sitting there with urine.
It was disgusting, and then I could never fuck that chick again.
What? How did you just have to play
her name
straight?
Was Corinne Fisher. Is that illegal? Can I say is that slander? It was not Corinne Fisher. Jesus. I don't. What is the definition of slander? I want to get into that in a minute.
That's probably you can't say that. Yeah.
What'd you say?
Just turn to the Jew.
Here's how little
the Jew behind the computer.
Here's how little production support we have on the Real Ass Podcast. Halfway through the show, I didn't even notice the producer that I appointed assistant producer John Fatigate.
We're done
I turn
with
around
anger for the day.
And he, no,
we're
I'm not done.
On
shut
on
the fuck up.
Caps.
Shut up. Let me finish. He leaves, and I turn around, and fucking Joe Harari is sitting there. Now he's not. He doesn't even know. He's halfway through the show. He doesn't know the rhythm. I'm trying to get a producer on board with the show that's here to help the show run along and be smooth and run efficiently. I know you are. Can you look up the definition of slander? I want to find out, because I want to see what I can say about
this. You probably can't say it. I'm pretty sure you can't say
it. I didn't fuck her. Just let it be known.
Always say allegedly.
When you fuck in a cab...
allegedly.
When you fuck in a cab, is that like doggy style in the back seat, or her sitting on top of you? Like, what's the...
No. Her legs spread on her back.
Oh, really?
Just
that's fucking
how you did?
Get on top.
One knee...
Missionary.
Listen, one knee on the divider in between the two little puddle cups for pee, and then one knee... Like on the actual cabs, you're kind of like
missionary style.
Yeah, it's missionary, but you kind of got to get one leg down. Yeah,
I just get on top.
I can't really. You got to be a very special woman if you can make me come when you're on top.
I mean, that's pretty.
Really?
That's like, hey, cabbie, I'm fucking in your back seat. Like, that's not even. That's great.
Yeah. What do you do?
I've never fucked in a cab. I've got them blown in a cab.
No, they're
going to
know you're fucking
in a
back seat. They're 100%. There's no way for them not to know it, dude.
Right.
Usually I'll put my arm through the little rectangle divider and I'll hold his hand while I fuck her.
Right.
He's saying a Muslim prayer.
You give him the cell phone and he just fucking films it for you.
Now that's a good, listen,
you
that's
grab
a
his
fucking,
beads and shove it there too.
That's a good producer right there, because did you text me the definition?
Email.
You emailed to me. Well, I have my email up right here. He emailed me the definition.
How many different women would you say he fucked in a cab?
A few.
You can't even
definitely
count
a few. I mean, I can count. All right, make a false or damaging statement about someone. All right, yeah, I guess. The action or crime of making false spoken statement damaging a person's reputation. But if I also say that I was just kidding, it was a joke. Not only if it's not clear that it's a joke, and then I say it's a joke. I'm good, right?
You're good now.
Okay.
You're good now. By the way, I saw your crush tweeted at you yesterday.
Which one?
Your crush. The girl you love.
Oh, yeah, and I can't talk about it. Why would you say that?
I'm not saying who it is.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not saying who it is.
It was my birthday yesterday, by the way, guys.
Happy birthday.
Did you not know this, Robbie the Fire?
How come we didn't celebrate? What are we doing?
We're doing a podcast right now. I'm screaming.
Happy birthday. You want half a water bottle?
No. I was in Seattle. I want to talk about this, dude. I want to talk about legal weed, and then I'm going to talk about Ari, because I thought this
real
shit was
fast,
fucking
how
crazy.
The show yesterday at Levity.
It was great.
Yeah? Wasn't it like a showcase?
Yeah, it's fine. I don't want to talk about the show at Levity. I just fucking tried to introduce another topic.
I
wanted to know how it was, though.
Can we set up?
Well,
so, Lewis, I hear you were just in Washington smoking legal weed.
Dude. No, we'll do the Comics Unleashed thing. Hey, Lewis, I heard you're in Seattle lately. How's it going?
Listen to me. Dude, it's great. Seattle is a cool city, man. I got to say, I've been to a lot of places. Rarely do I go on the road and go, all right, I can move here. Like, and Seattle's one of the places I can definitely move. I could live in Seattle. I guess I could live in Miami only because the weather's so nice. I can get
cocaine,
used to it.
You can get used to that quickly.
Lots of cocaine and Cuban women. And I could obviously live in LA. But it's very rare that I go to a city that I like that much. And Seattle was one of those cities. That is a
chill city, right?
Very relaxed, very clean.
Catch any music while you were there?
No, I didn't get to catch any music. I mean, I only had one day to like hang out by myself and just like, you know, bullshit and shoot the shit.
Right.
And I went over to the Space Needle and I did some of the touristy stuff. Went to Public Market.
Did you get some fish?
Yeah, dude, I had the best fish and chips I've ever had in my entire life.
How much coffee did you drink? I feel like I would just try every coffee there.
I drink coffee all day, every day as it is. And I mean, I say the same thing there, but I'll tell you right now, here's the thing. When you're in a place like New York City, like if I was from Idaho, I would be like, oh my God, dude, I've never had such amazing fish and coffee.
Right.
And granted, it was the best fish and chips I've ever had, but I'm sure I could find a place in New York that has comparable fish and chips.
Right.
I know I can find – I'm drinking a cup of coffee right now from FICA across the street from Stand Up New York, and it is phenomenal. It's $3.50 a cup, whereas you can get, you know, for $1.50, it's as good any place in Seattle is as good as this for like $1.50 a cup. But you know, if you're a New Yorker and you're savvy, you can find basically anything, because there's some fucking lesbian fucking bookworm from Seattle that moved here 10 years ago and opened fucking Seattle Coffee Company you know, in the East Village. Where are you going? We're on video. We're on video.
It's Kareem. She
what? Well, keep it fucking sexy.
So, did you actually like go to a pot store?
All right, I'm gonna tell you the way it works. So listen. You go all over this fucking city, right, dude? And it's great. It's amazing. It's this cool vibe as it is, right? And it's kind of a hippie town. But
can we shit on Scopo now?
No, it's fine. It's not like the type of town where it's not in your face. Like, here's the thing, dude. I went to Amsterdam when I was a kid. Very much in your face. Over the top. Fucking, like, you know, everyone's fucking. There's a lot of hippies in the streets, dreadlocks, a lot of fucking people smoking pot in the streets. It's just not the type of vibe. It's just a little bit more mature. It feels like a place where parents, like new parents live and smoke
right.
pot. You know, it's not really a bunch of fucking kids. So they have, they've been medically legal for a while, but they have also recreationally legal marijuana now. Now it's three states now. It's Colorado, Seattle, or Washington, and now Alaska just made it recreationally legal as well.
So you don't have to be from the state to buy the weed? You can be anywhere?
You can be anywhere, dude. It's like buying a beer. You got to be 21. They check your ID at the door. They're kind of spread out, the recreational centers. But it's the way they do it is it's cool. It's much different than Amsterdam. Amsterdam, they have coffee shops. You sit down. It's like you're sitting down at a bar. You order some weed from a menu. You smoke it right there and then. There's Bob Marley playing. There's a clock on the wall that's always pointing to 420. There's fucking, you know, there's everyone. There's
this is more like a store where you go and buy and leave?
It's not even just a store, because I thought you would go in. I thought it would be the same similar type of vibe, like Bob Marley shit and
right.
fucking tie-dye shit all over the place. It is very clean.
Money-making. It's very...
It feels almost medical. The best place, the way I could describe the way it looks when you walk into these recreational marijuana stores, it looks like a cell phone store. Like, it looks like very – like a brand new cell phone store, crystal clear cases. Everything is in cases. Everything, all the weed is in pre-sealed packages. They can't even open it. They give you sniff jars where you could smell it in a jar, and they get the sniff jar that's pre-sealed. So they can't open the sniff jar even. So it is – like the way they do it, like the laws, I guess, are so restrictive.
Yeah,
that they have to do it this specific way. But it's kind of cool. It's not – it didn't feel so medical – and sterile that I was like put off, like, you know, it still felt very welcoming.
Was it too stone? It wasn't too stonery,
but it wasn't stonery at all.
It's like a guy with dreads fucking
no it wasn't stonery at all. It was not what I was expecting at all. But you go in this place, they're very knowledgeable, they're very very friendly, and they weren't trying, this is the one thing I know, is they weren't trying to fucking get you on the price, because the weed is, it's not super expensive, which, by the way, this will be the episode if you want to go to Seattle or if you want to go to one of these places where it's legal. Listen to this and fucking, I mean, this, I wish I would have known some of this stuff before I went. But you know, when you go, there's a thing called Weed Maps, and it gives you basically every recreational and medical place in the entire city. So you could just fucking just drive to them. And I went to a place called Uncle Ike's, which was really nice. And I went to a place called Seattle Cannabis Company. And the prices, I mean, you can get them for as low as like $10 a gram for really banging weed. But that's basically the shit that they have an abundance of. It's shit that didn't sell that much that week. They do like specials. You know,
right.
it's similar, like if you go to a restaurant, the reason you don't order a special the day at a restaurant is because they got too much fucking salmon. They got way a lot of salmon in the back and they got to fucking get rid of it now. That's the special of the day. If you're going to a restaurant, it's not because it's fucking, hey, we just want to give this away for a special deal. No, that's what's going on. So... typically, it's just not the best weed they have, but it's fucking great, dude. So it's like $10 a gram, $12 a gram, compared to New York, which is on average for good weed, $25 a gram.
Right.
Okay. Now, the really good shit, it goes up to maybe $22, $23 a gram, and that's like ridiculous level. Like, I bought like one or two of those grams just to have. I had this shit called Cinex that was like, you guys aren't potheads, so this wouldn't even be.
I'm borderline.
Here's the thing, you're just a college druggie kid. So you could get into it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I love pot. I just don't, like, really smoke it daily anymore.
This was – the first time I went to Amsterdam, I was, like, in heaven, dude. I almost, like, fucking got emotional. Like, the first time I bought legal weed, it was, like, fucking bananas to me. this, it definitely wasn't the same type of experience. This was a little bit more adult. It wasn't the same. Like, I mean, if I was 21 when I went, I might have been a little bit more excited and a little bit more crazy about it. But it's the way it should be.
It's very corporate.
It is very corporate.
That's what it is.
Very
it's money. It's, oh, it's, it comes down to money making. That's
so
what it comes
when you were
to.
Like trying to select your pot, how did, like, if I was going to a place that had all the pot, I would say, hey, what do you have that's like super clear headed that I could kind of be focused on, and what do you have that's going to make me want to just really jerk off and eat junk food? I want one
well,
of each.
Yeah, the sativas are what are uppity and right. make you think and laugh and giggle and be creative,
and then the indicas,
and the indicas are
like,
fucking they flatten you. That's like the yeah. hazes, and they fucking put you to bed.
Right.
So that's typically, and then they do blends of it. It's kind of like wine, you know what
right.
I'm saying? Like, they literally do like 70% sativa, 30% indica. And it's just like, honestly, dude, it is what you like. The one guy kind of put it best. He was like, dude, everything is great. It's all going to get you high. He was like, it depends on what you like. I think for me personally, it's really about the smoothness of the smoke and the flavor, because it's all going to get you high. And I'm used to smoking
you see,
this fucking bullshit
right.
in New York City, which is like whatever.
Right.
So I wanted to like when I smoked that Cinex shit, I was just like, holy shit, dude, this taste. It's like a beer, dude. If you get beer or wine, you want it to taste really good. It's not just what's going to hit you in the head.
It's also very it's scientific. They can with the strains, they know exactly what they want. Where here, it's just you grow and get the fuck out.
Yeah,
I
you found, get what you can get.
You see, I found like in my like there were some like really piney weeds that were the ones that taste really good to me and are kind of clear-headed, versus there are some that I smoked that it like tasted terrible, but those are the ones that you'll just laugh your ass off on.
Yeah,
which is not even like pot I've really come across in a while.
I just here's what's fucked up, dude.
I mean,
even,
it's all the same to you because you just smoke all the time.
I don't laugh my ass off at anything anymore in reality.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's kind of what I miss.
So long.
I get kind of
that's
kind of
what I miss about like well yeah because you do it all the time.
Yeah, the
just...
first few times you smoke weed, the first time I smoked weed, I laughed like a fucking psychopath
yeah,
for 2 hours
yeah.
straight.
I remember that. I mean, I was
but in fact, I want to ask you guys about the first time you smoked weed in a minute. That'll be the next topic we talk about. But I mean. Now I get kind of just, you know, hazy. I get a little bit slower. It's not really – for podcasting, it's just not the best thing. Like, well, I'm like – right now I'm slower than I was 10 minutes ago before I took a hit of weed.
Well, the amount of rage
you
were going
mean,
with, it,
you
that was
fucking
great.
Filled
yeah.
up with rage.
But I feel better now. You know what? I kind of like Corinne Fisher. I think she's a really nice chick. She's
so
really
what do you
sweet.
Think about going on that podcast? Maybe it would happen?
I would maybe do the podcast. All right. Cool. But no, like the truth is like I don't get like – so now – I'm really thinking of it from like a standpoint of like the way I look at alcohol. It's about the flavor. It's about not getting a headache. Like if you get a shitty bottle of wine, it tastes bad and it gives you a headache.
Hangover.
It's awful. So with weed, like I really look at it like wine. Like is it a really good flavor? And is it not going to give me a headache? Like headachey weed is the fucking worst. Really, the rest is just me kind of being a little bit stoned. You can't really get stoned off of like me. I can't get stoned off of really low level weed. But I have a guy who sells me really nice quality weed that tastes really good. It's a nice high. It doesn't give me a headache, and it's fucking really cheap, dude. It's actually cheaper than I was getting in Seattle.
Generally speaking, you can only get swag at his prices.
Yes. Yeah, it's the same guy you use.
Yeah.
And that's the shit that, I mean, it's by far the best deal.
It's a great deal.
Ari Shaffir gives me shit. He told me to bring back weed. He's like, dude, let me tell you how to do it. This is how you bring back weed from Seattle. You gotta put it in a thing and everything. And I'm like, Ari, but can I get in trouble? He's like, no, it's only a fine because it's legal there. It's where you get stopped. And then I looked it up. I was like, no, dude, it's the fucking TSA. You will go to jail. You will go to jail even if you're leaving from Seattle
right.
Trying to get onto an airplane and fly. You're fucking crazy, Ari. He's just wrong about that. It's just not true. He was giving me terrible advice, which makes me not only the evidence by Ari Shaffir not getting my back against Corinne Fisher and her onslaught on me on the YKWD podcast, a day which will live in infamy in the rest of my life.
He was also trying to get
but
you
he was
to
also
to
trying to get me go to jail. I mean, he's not only I think Ari might be in cahoots with Corinne
I
Fisher.
Think he's coming for you.
He might be here right now. Is he outside? Is Ari Shaffir ready to fight? I'm on that fucking one arm chick side.
Wait, so who's our grievances so far? We got the Fisher chicks, we got Sherrod Small, and now Ari Shaffir.
No,
who else should we add to the
shit
list?
Scopo's been on it, too.
Scopo?
And Big Red fucking Nose.
Come on, run a roll. Who else?
I don't know.
I wasn't paying attention for a second. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right.
We were just kind of screaming anyways.
You might be taking his place on this podcast.
Yes,
it might be
finally.
Me and Zach, dude. It's because he's fucking – he's not my friend. He leaves during the show. He doesn't pay attention constantly.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to go take a work phone call.
Yeah,
that
well,
was it. That
you
was
know
it.
What? You should also not
miss
be
out
not,
on these cunty
you
moments.
You should not be letting the fans know that you have a day job. Keep it sexy. I only have
like
professionals
me. I haven't
on
worked
show.
In months.
See? See?
I'm just crushing it in comedy. Who needs work when you can do this well at stand-up comedy?
So look, Ari Shaffir battling or I guess dealing with, and he hasn't made any comments.
Now, I don't
it.
Know what happened because I've literally had no Wi-Fi for the past 5 days, so I don't know what the fuck happened at
That's
all.
Right. It's so funny when you go on vacation and then major world events happen, and you just miss them, dude. What did I fucking miss? When I was in Amsterdam, I missed like a major world event.
9/11?
No. I was in school. I missed that too. I got out of class at 1 p.m. They let my class go on. True story.
Dude. Really?
In New York City, I was in class till 1 p.m.
I got taken out of school.
I was in class and we heard about a plane hit a building. I was in eighth grade. We just thought it was hilarious. We're like, what dumbass pilot just drives into a. And then we heard a second plane. We're like, there's two idiots out there.
I've told this story. I tried this as a stand-up joke. Right? I've told this story on a podcast before.
It's a funny joke when you do it. It's
never worked.
Really?
It's never
worked. I've seen
it work. Well, on 9/11, the class got out at 1.
Right.
And this is true. Like, I didn't know what was going on. All they did was they had an announcement over the PA system that said classes were canceled.
Right.
So me and my pod of friends were just like, yes, this is the greatest day. And so, yeah, I tried that on stage, and it gets nothing, dude. People stare at me like, I'm like, motherfuckers, I lived through it. I was here during 9/11. But when you're away, you do miss major events. And Ari Shaffir, first of all, this motherfucker for the past, and I'm so upset because I would have been on Legion of Skanks with him this past Tuesday, but I was in fucking Seattle, so I couldn't do the show with him, and they didn't ask him about it. He doesn't
want to talk about it.
Apparently, he's not talking about it, and I don't even want to comment on that. Like, you know, I'm assuming that fucking he has his own reasons or whatever.
He's got some shit going on right now, so I'm
just whatever. Yeah. But what happened was he was on a special. Do you know the story, Robbie?
Yes.
And he names this chick. I don't want to say her name because apparently that's her problem.
Just make it up.
But in reality, this is my problem. Is it really her problem? Now everyone's saying her name. So I don't really know, and there's a lot more people saying she's a fat one-armed.
Is she famous?
Chick? No, she's like literally has like 800 Twitter followers at the time. She probably has like way more than that now. Actually, I want to see because when I looked her up the first day that I heard about it,
so what
she had 800 Twitter followers.
What's the controversy?
So Ari did a bit on his special,
okay,
where he basically named her by name and talked about how annoying she was. He was talking about annoying people, and I won't play the bit on here. Honestly, because I am Ari's friend. I'm only fucking around. But I'm friends with Sherrod. I'm friends with Ari. I'm joking about all this except for Corinne Fisher. Fuck that chick. Everyone else, I'm actually friends with.
See, that was your
point.
Wait,
so I'm allowed to like these people? I'm confused. So I like Sherrod. Like everyone. I like Ari.
You like Ari.
Okay.
You don't like Corinne.
Okay.
Okay, good.
All right, I got to keep this list straight in my head.
What he made fun of her specifically, but like, was she tweeting at him or some shit like that? Did she hate him in general?
He just thinks she's annoying. He didn't like her. Okay, that was the thing. He just doesn't like this chick. Okay,
but who is she? She has to.
She's a fucking comic, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking she's a fucking random person in the world.
Oh no, she's a fucking comic. Okay, which by the way, she had originally. Actually, she hasn't even grown that much in popularity. She has 1,391 Twitter followers now. Which, by the way, now that's how I gauge how famous people are. I just look.
Twitter followers.
It kind of sucks, like because back in the day when we first started comedy, you can just kind of sell your credits. You can just kind of say, "Hey, dude, I've been on fucking Last Comic Standing, Access TV, fucking MTV." It just kind of sounds impressive, but then you see that I have less than 6,000 Twitter followers, and you're like, okay, he's not really a fucking player in the game.
Right.
You know what I'm
you
saying?
You can quantify it right away.
That's the thing that kind of blows about social media. And it's kind of good on the other end because once I do reach a certain level, it's going to just kind of be nice.
So, it's just so is like you have like less than 6,000, whatever, but like you're on TV. Pete got 20,000 followers from the roast.
Oh, it's crazy.
In one night.
Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, do we have somebody right after us today, Joe? Check and see what's up, because I can go a little bit longer today. I got nothing, actually. Okay.
We have something at 2.
At 2? Shit, what time is it now? All right, we're good. If we run 5 minutes late, is that a problem?
I don't think so.
Who are they?
Yeah, hold on. We were put in here late today. We were put in here almost a half an hour late.
Oh,
it's Gabe, the owner of the club. We can't fucking.
Right, He's a pushover. Come on.
Can you delete all of my comments about the Jews from today's podcast? Or at least not tell him. Fuck, man. Where was I at? All right. So, yeah. So this fucking chick, I guess Ari didn't like her for whatever reason. And I know the type of chick that this is. I can compare. I know the type. It's not like he has a personal thing. Like me and Corinne Fisher, the only person who I have a genuine like. I know you say a lot of people don't fucking like me. People that don't like me.
They just don't know you.
They don't fucking know me.
Yeah.
The only person that I know in comedy that we don't like each other. I really think that the only person that we know each other and don't like
Let
each other.
Let me guess. Corinne Fisher?
Corinne Fisher. Oh, I'm okay. Pretty sure that's who it is. Okay. So, they don't like each other for whatever reason, but I don't think it's that type of thing.
LA comic?
LA comic. I don't think it's that type of thing. I think it's just the type, it's like an annoying fucking chick. It's like an annoying, like there's, think of the annoying comics. You're just like, I just fucking don't like that guy. I've named a bunch of them to you. I'm not going to name names.
Me and you have,
there's a bunch. We all talk shit about this type of person. So I'm assuming it's that type of person, him. So Ari goes on the special And he does a bit, and he names her by name. He says her full fucking name, okay? In the special, which, look, I get why when you're doing – and this thing, this wasn't his Comedy Central special. This was a self-release special from 2013. So it wasn't a really big thing. It was kind of his own thing, and that's Ari's style. Like, Nate Bargatze says my full name on a in one of his jokes.
It's a credit for you, though.
No, Jay.
But
does he get the J in there?
He does say it on the Comedy Central special. Yeah,
but not on Conan.
He didn't do it on Conan.
I got furious with him.
I was actually, there's a different Luis Gomez who's friends with Nate Bargatze.
Furious. I told him, I was like, dude, you didn't say the J. He was like, well, but I said your full name. I was like, no, no, no. You didn't say my full name. You said Luis Gomez. I would literally rather him say Bob than Luis Gomez. I would rather him say any name but Luis Gomez. Say Luis J. Gomez or go fucking home. There's no reason.
What if it'd been like my friend, the real ass dude?
My friend, real ass dude, Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Howard Stern of MMA Radio, Joan Jett of comedy, Luis J. Gomez. If he would have said that, that's the only way he could truly make it up to me.
Dude, he might go over his time though if he names all your fucking names.
Might ruin the flow, but would have made Luis's day.
So he names a chick by name, and she fucking dude. Dude,
what she did was annoying.
Dude, she.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel so bad for her.
Can we just? I don't know.
I don't want to say I feel so bad for her.
Let me say what. Let me tell him. Let me finish the story with him. The joke basically said these annoying type of people come up to you, and then he starts describing her that she's fat. He makes a joke about how she has one arm. It makes it not easy to clean herself.
No, he goes, she smells. She has that fat person smell.
Yeah.
You know, when you can't get under the skin. And it's got to be particularly hard when you only have one arm or something. Which is, it's really mean, really funny.
The whole joke is fucking mean, but it's funny. She does a response video where she's crying in the camera.
And it starts off right away, like, I grew up without, like, it's the saddest story you ever heard right up front.
She's like, when I was six, I was homeless. My sister was kidnapped when I was 11 and raped. She gives you a whole story, kind of like sad events that have happened to her life. She talks about how she got into a car accident, got passed at the Comedy Store, shows some of Ari's joke. And kind of, here's what's fucked up. She cuts up the bit. She cuts up the bit to only the mean parts, so you lose all context of the joke. Granted, there wasn't a ton of context. I'll give her this. It wasn't like... It was, once you watch the whole joke, you go like, oh, it wasn't mean. It was still mean, but...
She's trying to defend herself.
It's important to give the whole context of the joke. Or not put any of the joke
in. I also didn't like, part of what they were criticizing the joke for was that it had no punchline, which wasn't true.
There was plenty of punchlines in the joke. The joke was good. Go look it up. Ari actually posted the video on his Twitter, and this he said, if you look up Ari Shaffir annoying people on YouTube, you could find the joke. It's a funny bit. I get the idea. Look, dude, I wouldn't have named her full name. I didn't even know you could name their full name. I know when you do shit on TV, they, like, NBC, you have to, like, get everything run by you. Like, they had to come to me when Nate gave my full name. They had to get my permission to use my full name. I think they just try to avoid shit. You can't actually sue somebody. From my understanding of it is you can't actually sue.
Is she trying to sue him now?
I don't think so. Here's the thing, dude.
I think she was just upset about it, which was reasonable.
But the special came out in 2013.
You mean the fact that... Yeah, but I guess...
The Comedy Central just aired it.
Right.
But you're going to tell me you didn't hear about this for the past year and a half. You didn't hear about this. And fuck, you weren't upset about it before. The truth is,
it was under the carpet.
Like, no, now it's a thing.
He's got some steam. Now he's got a TV show. Now she has an opportunity to kind of make a name for herself off of it. Before, it was just kind of like embarrassing for her.
Right.
But the truth is, here's the thing. I started looking her up, and everything that this chick does as a comic, everything she does is about her being fat and having a little nubby arm. Everything. That's her whole act. And I'm not even faulting her for that being her whole act. I understand it, dude. It's the elephant in the room. If you're a big fat guy and you don't have a couple fat jokes to address it, or if you don't at least address it in your act, people are kind of like, I'm not talking about like fat like Bobby or Big J, but if you're like fucking really, really fat, dude, and you don't address that, or if you have a big scar down your face, okay, a huge scar down the
you gotta address this situation.
You gotta say, hey, dude, this is what the fuck's going on here. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, it's a weird thing that's going to take away from the rest of your comedy. But your whole act doesn't have to be about that. It could just be about – this is kind of the point I was making about Corinne and their podcast. No, your whole show doesn't have to be about you fucking people. I think that's kind of a cheap way to do things. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just a very – it's a cheap way to get people to listen to what you have to say. For women, in my opinion. And I'm not saying you can't talk about that, but I don't think it should be the only thing that you talk about. Either way, I'm not even faulting her for everything she talks about. It's a pretty fucking big elephant in the room, dude. She's got one little fucking arm. I don't think she should be embarrassed of it. I'll make jokes about her or whatever. I'm not actually making fun of this chick for having one arm, dude. I think it's pretty fucking brave of her to be a stand-up comic. I think it's brave of anybody to be a stand-up comic. I don't have to talk about the darkest shit in my life if I don't want to. I make a choice as a comedian to talk about some dark shit. My dad dying, my mom dying. You know, there's other shit that happened in my life that where I've been hurt that I try to explore as an artist and as a comedian. I have the choice, though. She has no fucking choice as a comic. And she was a comic before she had her arm ripped off. She has no other choice except to talk about that. So, I mean, dude, it's fucking like, it's a really hard thing. And I'm not going to shit on that chick for anything. But it does seem a little, here's the thing that I think is fucked up. Immediately, Ari's made no comment about this, right? He's made no public fucking, you know, whatever about this. And immediately, everybody, the comedy community, the public media, all of these feminist blogs, Jezebel.com, whatever SJW is, all of this shit, they're throwing Ari under the bus saying, what a fucking bully. What a piece of shit to say anything about this fucking girl. What an asshole. What a dickhead scumbag. You know, this is what's wrong with comedy. Nobody's getting this guy's back. Nobody's had a conversation with this fucking guy about it. Nobody said, hey, dude, do you know what happened with this chick, dude? How do you know she didn't fucking curb stomp his dog? Nobody knows what the fuck happened.
I don't think anything is worse than what Ari did to his dog.
Yeah. No. No, I don't even know what
that's well, he did to his own dog.
Right after that, she took that little chihuahua and stepped on his fucking head.
And the dog was like, that was a lot better. So then, like, what the fuck?
Please
then
kill
Ari's
me.
Shitty
please
asshole.
Kill me.
That.
I think we actually, we know.
But let me just make this, I want you to respond right now. But we have this immediate thing where somebody is accused. We fucking say, no, that guy is wrong. The person that is being bullied, the person that is the victim is immediately right and immediately vilified. And I think that's a wrong thing to fucking do. And that's my whole fucking take on it. What do you want to say?
No, I want to say, we know personally that Ari happens to be a really sweet guy. It happens to be
one
like,
of the nicest and most generous people I've ever met in my entire life.
Crash at his place for a while when I know no other person who's that nice.
When I was in the process of moving this past time, there was like a month and a half where we didn't have a place to stay. We were gonna sublet. Ari was like, dude, I'm gonna be out of town, take my apartment. No questions asked, right. Dude, take my fucking apartment.
So
just one of the nicest fucking guys in the world.
The point I'm trying to make is like to take one joke and say that defines a person's entire character. It's like he's got a lot of really smart social commentary in his jokes. That's not – like to say that this is one mean joke, his entire personality is that he's a bully and he's an asshole, I think that's unfair. I don't think any of us want to be held to that standard. So it just kind of becomes the shouting match of Twitter of, hey, this is fun. Let's pile on, you know, shaming this one individual, which it's ridiculous. Like, for instance, they're doing that now with the guy Trevor Noah, who's – is that the guy's name?
Yeah,
who's replacing
that actually,
the Daily Show. So right away, it's almost like they sit in an office like, how can we ruin this guy's job? And they're like, well, let's look through his Twitter feed. Oh, well, he has got this tasteless joke about Jews. He's got this tasteless joke about women. It's almost like they would just go through the list like, oh, is he a racist? No. Well, does he hate gays? No. He's actually a good Christian.
Oh, of course.
And then at some point they would get down the line of things they can't shit him for and go, oh, look, the network went with the safe choice.
Well, it's a scary thing. As a comic, here's the thing. I know this. It was actually the Trevor Noah thing was the thing that really – because I 2 weeks ago – right? When Ari shoved that dog up his ass, I was like, dude, we can do anything. We are superheroes. We are comedians.
Ari shoved the dog up his ass?
You're so disconnected from the internet. You're an idiot, dude. I'll show you after the show. I can't derail the show because you don't know what the fuck's going on in the world, okay?
How do I not know about a dog up Shafir's ass?
We'll watch it after the show, okay?
After all the ADD moments, you can't tell me about a dog in his ass?
And let it go?
Yeah, dude, fucking, he shoved the dog in his ass. Go watch it on the internet later. It's fucking hilarious,
I take back what I said about Ari. I can't stand by this at all. Dogs are in his ass? And I know how gross his ass is from Legion of Skanks.
Yeah, dude, well, he did it for Legion of Skanks.
You see, this is the evidence I needed to know.
All right,
okay.
Shut up. Let's move on.
Yeah, sure. I still love you, Ari.
Literally 2
back.
Weeks ago, I'm going like, holy shit, dude, we have so much power. I was like, it's a beautiful time for comedy. We can just kind of do what we want to do. Ari Shaffir's not making comments right now. Trevor Noah, they went through his Twitter feed, and over nothing, they're fucking giving him shit. Jamie Foxx, 5 days ago, he made a joke, a harmless joke, about, what's his name? The Kardashian dad, Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner.
So his joke was something along the lines of, Bruce Jenner's going to do his and her duet all by himself. That's the joke during, like, the opening of some awards ceremony.
That's funny.
It's not even a hateful joke. If there's nothing hateful there, we can't make jokes about transgender people or gay people. We can't joke about that. Isn't that more divisive? Isn't that more like, aren't you trying, if we're trying to fucking be equals, I can make jokes about fucking Robbie Bernstein, Raw Dog and a chick, but I can't make a joke about Bruce Jenner becoming a man, a he/she? Are you kidding me? What the fuck is going on? So you have this thing where it's like, I thought the comedy police were calming down for a minute, especially for like real fucking comics. Then this happened with Trevor Noah, and it made me realize, and it's almost refreshing in a weird way. I will never be really famous. Not like that.
Nah,
I'm not going
to
be.
I hate to break. Yeah, because you're not mainstream. You're not the MTV type.
Forget
you're
that.
Not,
dude. Even if
not...
I was, even if I was, even if I looked like Andrew Schultz and I did his type of comedy. Look, dude, I think a lot of us were in this media generation where a lot of us are going to start getting in more trouble than you think. But I've said too much shit. You're going after Trevor Noah for that shit? Wow, dude. I've combed through my Twitter and Facebook feeds to take shit off because I was auditioning for shit and I was a part of TV shit. I would have left that shit. I mean, I would have left shit way worse than that. I would have just left it. In my mind, it wouldn't have even registered as being a problem. So I know I'm never going to be that type of famous. I will never host a show like that. I'll never be at the helm of a TV show like that. But it makes it very clear for me as an artist that I was like, okay, but no. There's still a path. I can still act. I can still do radio. I can still have my fans. But I know not to ever go for that. I would never even audition to be the host of The Daily Show.
It's an industry now of just cutting people down.
It's awful. Like, for being funny, for the most purest thing on earth, which is just trying to find funny in every topic possible, the reason you love us, the reason you give us jobs, it's the exact reason you go through our fucking Twitter feeds and our Facebook feeds with a fine-tooth comb and say, well, no, now you can't have it. Well, you're just not going to get funny people.
You know what people like controversy. People like outrage.
I'm with him on
people
this.
Like to fucking...
People like when people don't pound on the desk
when
they're doing a podcast.
Like Hitler.
Yes. they love it. They love to see people that are just at a certain point, and they love to just chip at him and chip at him and chip at him, and it sucks. You know, listen, the two, three jokes, it's like, Jesus Christ. I actually met at Frantic one day. He's the nicest guy in the world. He was so nice to a fucking shitty open micer, and it's fucking shit how he might lose a job. Who knows? He might lose his job over this shit.
I'm reading this book, so you've been publicly shamed. It's all about, like, Twitter going after people. There's a story in there. This lady, she was going to Africa. She was a publisher. She tweeted this joke.
I remember the tweet.
Yeah, she tweeted the joke.
Hope I don't get AIDS.
No, it was like, hope I don't get AIDS. Oh, right. I don't have that problem because I'm white. Wait, it's not the best joke, but she's just making a joke like an ignorant, like, hey, I'm white, I'm privileged. They went after her as if it was a real thing. Everyone realized it was a fucking joke. They went after like it was a real thing. She lost her job. So it's almost like, to me, it's like we kind of live in, Patrice once talked about this, like a lottery culture, but it's almost like Twitter has its winner and losers where we just kind of latch on like, oh, this guy's great. And then we propel him way past he'd ever go. And then we go, oh, this guy did something that's mean. And then we fucking slam him. And it's what you're saying.
You just chip at him.
It sucks. It's the dramaticism because life's kind of boring. But in this fictional world, we can all just pile on and go, oh, yeah, that guy's the biggest fucking dick there is.
I just know I don't want to be that guy.
I don't want to be involved in this either.
Here's what I want. Okay. I want my fucking fans to come and see me fucking perform. And I want to do things that are going to get me as many fans as possible. But I know I will never host a show like that now. It's really funny, dude. Like, Trevor Noah, that's the guy that they're going to fucking start going after? Are you kidding me?
He's the most neutral, like...
Oh, my God,
dude. He's a mixed
race
from another country.
His backstory is incredible. He's from South Africa. He literally...
Big J really said it only... I listened to some Legion of Skanks this past week.
Yeah.
But he made a joke. He was like... He was living through slavery in 94 while Fresh Prince was on the air. That's a great joke. Gotta give Big J credit for that because that's fucking
phenomenal.
Dude,
the shit he went through it, none of us have ever seen. He literally talks about how he has to stand on one side of the street as his father or his mother was on the opposite side of the street because they couldn't be together.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's fucking nuts, dude. And of course, you know, whatever, dude. Fucking people will...
And even that, the liberal media will go after him.
Some chick who complains about slut-shaming or fat-shaming and misogynist. And
it's
almost
like
the evil ones.
It's like they don't want comedy.
They're all anti-comedy. And this it actually fits in with everything, okay? It fits in with Corinne Fisher. It fits in with the chick with one arm. It fits in with Trevor Noah. It's like... It's anti-comedy, dude. Even if you're the butt of it, even if it's fucking somebody coming at you and attacking you, right? Like, you're anti-fucking comedy if you're fucking coming out against words. If you're coming out against people trying to be funny. If you're just against that on whatever level, just say it's not for you. know what I'm saying? But if you come out as a comic against somebody trying to be funny for whatever reason, it's like, fuck you, dude. You're anti-comedy. You know, if you come onto the Legion of Skanks podcast and go, yo, you're slut shamers. Or, fuck you, bitch.
Back to this.
You're anti-comedy.
Again.
No, but it's true.
No,
I think people don't
this
live.
Chick, like, look, and it sucks for this chick with one arm. And, like, I get it. But it's like for her to – it's a dangerous thing. You want us to be able to say whatever words we want to be able to say, don't you, as comics? You want us to have the freedom to be funny, right?
But people don't live in our world. And they
these people do, though. These are people who are comics.
I just think
people that fucking took down Trevor Noah weren't comics.
Do you know I guarantee you there are comics. There are female comics that are feminist-leaning. I guarantee you the Jamie Kilsteins of the world.
Well, I'm talking about the people that try to take him down, though.
I guarantee they're going against him.
I just think none of us want to be held to the standard. None of us think that this is – like. How many jokes do you think Shafir's told in his career? 1,000? So there's one that we're objecting to, and now we're going to say that he's a bat. Like, that's ridiculous. No one wants to be held to that standard. We're going to make mistakes, if you want to even say that was, like, we're trying to make comedy. We're taking risks. That's what we do. It's offensive. That's who we are. Like, behind closed doors, the offensive shit we do to be funny.
I say black and white. It's all okay. I say we can say whatever the fuck we want every single time. And Ari Shafir said this yesterday on the YKWD podcast, and I'm going to talk to Ari about this. We should spread this fucking message. It is a brilliant idea, okay? The same bloggers, the same feminist fucking bitches that are coming out and going after comedians and trying to get comedians fired from comedy clubs, the same SJW and fucking Jezebel.com bloggers that do this, we should start going after them and their fucking families. Hold them accountable for what they say on the internet. Because everybody's got a fucking brother or sister who made some dumb fucking joke on the internet. So go after them. Contact their fucking jobs. Contact the people that pay their paychecks. I think that is the fucking greatest idea of all time. The truth is, dude, we are sitting there with our hands behind our back, letting people punch us in the fucking face for trying to create joy in the world. For trying to be fucking funny. Don't come into our world if you can't fucking handle it. Don't come into the fucking comedy club. Don't turn on Comedy Central. Don't turn on somebody's comedy special if you're not going to objectively say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to take anything offensively. Anything. I think every subject is on fucking limits and every subject is on the table for comedians. I genuinely believe that. We got to wrap, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, thank you for listening to Realize Podcast. Follow us on Twitter.
At Chris Scopo.
Chris Scopo.
At Robbie the Fire.
You want to do plugs real quick? We got to do your
plugs. Oh, yeah. We got to do some fucking live shows, too.
Also, lady, sorry that joke was made or something. I don't know. I don't want to get into it.
Wait, what'd you say? what do you apologize for? We don't apologize. We don't apologize.
Listen, Bernstein needs anything he can get. He doesn't need anything taken down.
All right. Follow me on Twitter, at Luis J. Gomez. Check me out live. Me and Chris Scopo, April
17th
and 18th. We're going to be Joker's Wild Comedy Club in New Haven, Connecticut.
I got an email. Later, what's his name? I want to get on that.
Later that night, if you're in Foxwoods, I'll be up at Foxwoods doing the ethnic show.
Ethnic show.
Because you're really ethnic.
The least ethnic person I've ever met in my entire life
is me.
All right, guys, listen. Thanks for listening to the Realize Podcast. We'll check you next week. Peace.